You know it?
I don't answer that question, whether I do or not. It don't matter, Jack. I mean, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't look like there's ever been any kind of life on this place. Not a harbor or anything, just dry, dead rock.
Ryan looked higher up, behind them. As he'd guessed, there was no sign at all of the concealed entrance to the redoubt. There wouldn't be any reason for anyone to come to the island and trudge up the old roadway. And it was an island. They could see that as soon as they clambered over a flat shelf, where a slice of rock weighing thousands of tons had sheared off and fallen from near the top of the peak. The far side was a little less steep, making it easier to move along the shoreline, watching out for the occasional wave that came crashing in, larger than its fellows. Jack pointed out across the sun-dappled water.
Seals, about a dozen.
They all stopped to watch the elegant creatures, cavorting and gambolling in the ocean. One of the seals had caught a glistening, silver-scaled fish and kept tossing its limp body high in the air in a rainbow of scattered spots of spray, then catching it again.
Clever!
Now they could make out what was probably the mainland, though it was difficult to see, and it could easily have been another larger island.
Good half mile.
Could swim that easy, Dad.
Ryan laid his hand on the boy's shoulder.
You always have to remember the people with you, son. Maybe you could swim it, but you don't know what the currents are like. Might be a powerful undertow out there.
What's that?
Kind of a whirlpool that you sometimes can't see, but it can suck down the strongest swimmer, Dean. Even if you could swim it, then what about everyone else in the group? You think Abe could make it?
Or Doc?
Or me? I reckon I'm a fair swimmer, but that's a long way.
Guess so. Does that mean we have to go back to make another jump?
Let's carry on around the rest of the island and see what we can see. Might find something.
Oh.
Trader always said that a man who made his decision without having all the facts was setting one foot in his grave.
They could see the other five picking their way very slowly over the treacherous rocks, about 300 yards ahead of them. Between them lay a small bay, about 100 paces across, filled with banks of torn seaweed and a jumble of driftwood. Dean pointed at the timber.
Hey, make a raft, Dad?
Maybe, boy. Maybe.
They were reunited as they stood on the only patch of beach on the whole island, a strip of shingle barely 20 feet long, dotted with empty mussel shells. JB stared out across the ocean.
Nothing around this way. Looks like our only chance of getting off to the mainland is to build some kind of a raft.
How about sharks?
Everyone considered that, looking in silence at the featureless expanse of water.
Don't see any sign of anything. Nothing to be scared about, lady.
The point about being scared of a great white trader is that you don't see it until it comes up from underneath and bites you in two.
Yeah, all right. But if we can make a good raft, it should be safe enough.
Ugh.
I have plenty of wood. What do we tie it together with?
Can see ropes and stuff.
Jack pointed to a straggling coil of orange hemp. Ryan looked around at the rest of the group.
We gonna try for this?
Doc raised his cane.
I have to register a still, small voice of dissent. My memories of occasions when we have taken to the water is that they have almost always been tainted with the proximity to disaster.
Just walking through a quiet wood on a summer day can get you chilled. Try and avoid a risk, and you run smack into another one.
I can't refute the veracity of that, my old companion. Indeed, it puts me in mind of the legend of the fabled ruler of classical times. A soothsayer told him...
A what?
Soothsayer, Abraham. Shaman. Wise man. Prophet. A doomy. A seer of the future.
Oh, sure. Sorry.
This wise man warned the king that he had dreamed and had received a warning that the king's only son, a merry little chap of some 8 winters, would meet his ending at the hands, the claws, of a lion. Well, the father was horrified. Such omens often came true. He built a wondrous palace, and with barred windows and stout doors, filling it with armed men, so that no lion could possibly reach his son. The son was forbidden ever to leave the palace.
So there was no way that a lion could chill him, Doc?
Right, dear boy. But his son was curious, having heard the rumors from the servants. He asked his father what a lion looked like. So the king purchased a huge painting of a fearsome lion crouched over its prey. The picture was in a massive, ornate golden frame and was hung in the boy's bedroom, where he often stood and admired it.
I know this. I'm sure Uncle Titus McCann told me the fable when I was a little girl back in Harmonyville. Sorry, Doc. Go on.
Very well. One day, the lad was staring raptly at the painting when there was a mighty thrumming sound, like a bowstring being drawn back. A sharp crack, and the cord supporting the picture snapped through. The painting fell on the poor little prince and crushed his skull like a Kerry pippin.
So the father didn't manage to save him, and the omen was true. Hey, hot piping story, Doc. You got any more like that?
Yeah, Dean, it was a real good story. And I know for a fact that Doc's got himself several hundred more adventures.
And all of them the same.
But we'll hear some more of them at a better time. Right now, we have to go in and get some timber out of the sea, along with that rope, and get started on building ourselves a good raft.
That smell really seeps into your heart. Get so you don't want to draw in a full breath.
Ooh, you got that right, Christy.
They were all soaked to the skin from the battle to retrieve their raft-building materials from the stubborn, weed-bound bay. The dark green coils were up to 100 feet long, and they had suckers that attached themselves to the lengths of driftwood that were needed to construct their ramshackle craft. It was impossible to tear them loose, and every bit had to be cut away by hand, using knives, hacking through the coarse lengths of weed, some of them thicker than a man's wrist.
Maybe a jump would be easier. Feels like I've been wrestling with a shack full of drunk stickies.
I reckon we could have used this creeper stuff instead of ropes to tie the raft together.
Soon be dark.
Jack was trying to restore an edge to one of the short throwing knives, rubbing the steel against the flat side of a smooth stone. Ryan glanced up at the sun, seeing to his surprise that it had already started its final plunge out over the western border of the ocean. The shadows had lengthened, and the air had become noticeably colder. The raft was taking shape, but there was no possible way that it would be finished before night came swooping in.
We could go back up to the redoubt or build a fire down here. Not much danger. We haven't seen any kind of life that can threaten us.
Steep climb. I have to say that this is harder work than I figured it would be.
Stay here with the fire?
Nobody raised an objection.
Good. Dean, Abe, we'll carry on until the light goes. You two start collecting some of the drier wood from higher up among the rocks. Get it piled ready for a fire.
Ta-da!
JB brought out one of the self-lights that he always carried to get the flames started. Dean had found a vast bundle of dried seaweed that he'd hauled across the rocks, using that as the base. Abe piled some of the smaller pieces of dry driftwood that he'd picked out from the higher rocks, placing them carefully among the crackling yellowed weed. Then both of them had hauled some larger hunks of wood and stacked them on top. With the sun well down and the light almost gone, Ryan called a halt to the raft building, ordering everyone in the party to scavenge for more wood to try to keep the fire going during the chill of the night ahead. Trader didn't get it.
Island isn't inhabited, Ryan, and I don't think seals are going to give us much trouble. Unless you figure there's some sort of marine sticky swimming around out yonder, just waiting their chance to creepy crawl in and haul one of us off to their undersea caverns.
You and me have seen stranger things than that in our life, Trader. And it wouldn't be impossible for someone on the mainland, on the coast, to see the light of the fire and come out on their boats to investigate.
If they did, we could steal their boats!
What for? Raft's nearly finished. Didn't just do all that work for nothing.
Post watch? Fog coming off shore. Doubt they'd see a fire.
I guess better not to take a chance. With 9 of us, it'll only be a short while each on lookout.
The flames burned bright, the golden smoke circling on the thermals, mingling with the thick mist that had descended over the California coast, bringing with it the strongest smell yet of rotting eggs. Everyone was tired from working waist-deep in the icy water, battling with the ropes of weed and the sodden wood that lay tangled together in the bay. After a snack from the supplies they'd brought from the redoubt, everyone lay in a rough circle around the fire, readying themselves for sleep. Dean was first on watch. Ryan was awakened by a shake of the shoulder from Christy. He sat up immediately, the Sig Sauer miraculously cocked and ready in his fist.
What?
Christy woke Ryan for guard duty with a kiss on the mouth, sliding her warm tongue between his teeth. She kneeled, smiling at him, her hair seeming to be ablaze in the glow of the fire, which everyone